Well, the first thing that we're going to talk about is pastoral care in situations when of congregational grief when a minister leaves. So the handout that I gave you has was actually something that I originally wrote when Chris left the congregation, and I thought we could bring it out and update it a little bit to our situation here. So when a minister leaves the congregation, first, and there's an announcement that's been made, first there's what we call anticipatory grief. So the people can have sadness, disappointment, feeling like they've been abandoned, angry. Some of these can even be all come within the same person. Some people who never liked the minister will be, or his ministry, might feel relief and joy, but be afraid to express it to anybody. So when the minister actually leaves, then there's what we call the actual grief, and you know, there's a number of stages that people have talked about in grief. The shock and denial, you are shocked, and then you say, this can't be happening, or you turn it off in your mind. Catharsis, which is maybe a flood of emotions that might occur. Guilt, there's some people will be feeling guilt, that something they did that caused this to happen. It's usually that's not the case, but that feeling is going to be happening with some people. And there could be anger. I'm angry at the minister, I'm angry at the way someone treated the minister, or that kind of thing. There could be depression. And then eventually we hope that there's an adapting to reality. So a stronger, healthier congregation that emerges from this whole process. So for anticipatory grief, what's needed is companionship on the journey. For the actual grief, you try to understand what stage this person might be in and figure out what helps. So the things that usually help is having a formal leave-taking that the congregation has, working with an interim minister, let the people that are bereaved to feel free to express their emotions, and talk about the person who's left, laugh, cry, hold hands, hug, and say things like, I really miss Jeremy. I miss how he did something, and don't be afraid to say that to each other. So a lot of these things on how to handle these, the congregation has already started about explaining the process of what happens next and, getting themselves educated. And an interim's job is basically to work with the congregations to reclaim or claim what good was in the ministry, and to let go of whatever they found yuck in the ministry, or a person that might have felt that way, and figure out how they want to move into the future. And as the actual, there should be an actual formal leave-taking ceremony, a ritual, and a way to celebrate the minister's ministry. So that's sort of what we can expect coming out of this. So, actually, when we first planned this workshop, we weren't thinking about having this lesson being part of it, but I added that at the end. The next pages are from some of the pastoral care notes that they're lessons that we learn as doing pastoral care. There's some more sort of bread and butter ways of taking care of people. The first one is doing active listening and responding. So It's one of the first lessons that you learn either in being a therapist or a minister or whatever, is that you need to be actively listening to people rather than talking at them. So what does active listening mean? It means looking at, being present to the person. They are giving you a gift of their vulnerability, and your job is to stand in awe of the other's courage as he or she lets you in. So start with a broad opening statement, listening without judgment, listening for their feelings, acknowledging their feelings, even reflecting them, validating what they're saying. And if you feel like you might have missed an opportunity, you could say something like, oh, I think I cut you off earlier when you were talking about something. Do you have something more to say about that we can talk about? So encourage the story coming out, and allow your natural responses. I'm so sorry, how you feel, maybe your own tears, if a situation, if you have your own tears, holding their hand. The things that you avoid are personal self-disclosure, that's something that diverts attention to you and starts, or you start telling your story. Talking too much, feeling that every moment has to be filled with words. Or not saying anything when a response is indicated, failing to acknowledge something. Or changing the subject when you think it's uncomfortable, something you don't want to talk about. Other things to avoid are fake reassurance, like, oh, you'll be just fine, or something like that, some cliche, or assuming that a person wants to be alone when the person really wants to have your presence. Yes and no questions usually lead to one-word answers. Why questions? Feel like you're getting interrogated. Instead, you might ask, what motivated you to do such and such? How did you come to that? Or belittling somebody's feelings. So the responses that are listed there are things that are helpful, that clarify things that people said. Knowing when you should respond and when you shouldn't respond. Oh, you're looking at the bottom bit. Keeping silence when there's a need to respond. Well, if somebody has just told you something really horrible, if you just sit there stone-faced, you know, that's a problem. But if you respond, even if it's with your tears or the hand on the shoulder, I remember one situation that I was in. It was a graduation ceremony when I was graduating from seminary. My mother had died like the 9 months before that. And my father came to my graduation ceremony, and he was talking to my intern minister supervisor, Kay Jorgensen. And my father said, I just wish her mother had been able to be here. And my eyes started filling up with tears. And Kay just put her hand on my shoulder like that. Didn't say a word, just put her hand on her shoulder. I felt so understood and so, you know, acknowledged. You know, so that kind of thing. When somebody has disclosed something that's deeply troubling to them, not ignoring it, you know, but in some way acknowledging it, you know, even if it's passing a Kleenex, you know. So there's a bunch of pitfalls to avoid, like, if I were you, I'd do such and such. Even if they ask, what would you do? This bitter to say, what do you think your options are? You know, and have them come up with several options. And then you can say, well, which of those seems like it might work? And so it's coming from them, because if it comes from you, then they'll blame you if it doesn't work. Justifiably. False reassurance, you're like, everything's going to be fine. Don't worry. You know, or platitudes like, God helps you to help yourself. You made your bed, now you have to lie in it. That kind of thing. It's better to say something specific rather than coming up with a platitude like that. Or arguing with a person. They can have views that differ from yours. So value judgments, looking for a silver lining. This one is sometimes hard for. I have a hard time. Because sometimes I see there is a silver lining, and sometimes it's helpful to point it out, but sometimes it's not. You know, sometimes they, when they're ready to see it, they'll see it. So complaining about how their problem is adversely affecting you. If you need to complain, you need to dump out rather than dump in. So that's really what I was going to cover. I have another thing in here about visiting in hospital or shut-in visiting. You know, just basically how one goes about visiting something. These are actually separate lessons in the curriculum. So, you know, if you're visiting someone at home or in the hospital, call first to let them know. Don't stay too long. Talk to the person themselves rather than talking to everybody else in the room. Listen to them. Physical gestures, holding hands, that kind of thing, if they're comfortable with it. Encourage them, but don't give false assurance. Having a sense of humor, that sometimes helps. Reducing the stress. Bring news of your life. Bring things from like an order of service from church or something. Bring flowers, or if some people are allergic to flowers or some treatments, they can't have flowers, so it's best to ask first, but sometimes it's helpful. A child's artwork, magic. Child's artwork. Music or CDs, if they have something favorite, that would be good. A comedy, renting a comedy for if they're able to see something in their home or in wherever they are. If you're going to bring some food, it's best to ask first, and some people may not be able to eat certain things. Offer to run errands, offer to help find somebody in the caring circle for them. And if they have special hot holidays or birthdays or weddings, that kind of thing, that it's good to have a celebration and not leave them completely out of it. If you can't visit, hospitals have chaplains, and I remember, because I was a hospital chaplain at one time, that they are very ready to come and visit people when asked. Kinds of gifts that might be welcome: face and lip body moisturizers, newspaper, magazine, a book that the person might like, small reading lamp, a notebook or a journal to read in. So hopefully that gives you something if you're visiting someone in the hospital, something that you might want to consider taking. So anyway, I hope this gives you sort of a taste of the kind of things that we do. We try to have, like a 20-minute or so training at each of our meetings, our monthly meetings. And so this would just sort of give you a taste of the kind of things that we have in our repertoire. And I actually started creating a program that we use for pastoral care when I was in seminary, as a project in seminary, to create a little pastoral care training notebook. And I've been adding to it, you know, as situations arise. And there are now, I think, maybe 20 to 30 churches that are using the notebook that I put together. You know, and I just offer to give it to ministers when they when I see something in the minister's chat. Does anybody know I do a pastoral associates program? And so I say, yes, I have something. If you'd like to take a look at it, I'd be glad to give it to you. So any other questions?